plan for how we're paid. But what is a pay plan, and how do companies make one? Let's start with the basics. Employee compensation is all forms of pay going to employees based on employment. It has two main components: direct financial payments, such as salaries, incentives, and bonuses, and indirect payments, which are financial benefits that determine the design of any pay plan, including legal requirements. Various laws specify things like minimum wages, overtime rates, and benefits. One of the most important is the Fair Labor Standards Act. It contains minimum wage, maximum hours, overtime pay, equal pay, record keeping, and child labor provisions, familiar to most working people, and covers the majority of U.S. workers. One of the most important amendments to this act, the Equal Pay Act, states that employees of one sex may not be paid lower wages than employees of the opposite sex for doing roughly equivalent work. If the work requires equal skills, effort, and responsibility in similar working conditions, employees of both sexes must receive equal pay, except for seniority, merit, quantity or quality of production, or any factor other than sex. Let's review a few more legal provisions. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act prohibits age discrimination against employees 40 years of age and older in all aspects of employment, including compensation. The Americans with Disabilities Act prohibits discrimination against qualified disabled persons in all aspects of employment, including compensation. And the Family and Medical Leave Act allows eligible employees, both men and women, to take up to 12 weeks of unpaid, job-protected leave for the birth of a child or the care of patients. More responsibilities and more complex job duties should be paid more highly than jobs with lesser requirements. The wage or salary structure that results from this step helps guarantee internal equity. Job evaluation methods include ranking, job classification, the point method, and factor comparison. Once you've determined the relative worth of each job, you can begin assigning pay rates to each job. So, in step 3 of establishing pay rates, you'll group jobs into pay grades made up of jobs of approximately equal difficulty or importance as established by job evaluation. Then, in the next step, assign pay rates to the pay grades. You'll typically use a wage curve line or the target wages for the jobs in each pay grade. In the last step, you'll examine the pay ranges for each grade, usually indicated by vertical boxes within each pay grade showing minimum, maximum, and midpoint pay rates. If the current wages being paid for any of your jobs fall well above or below the rate range, these jobs may need either raises if below range or pay freezes if above, until the wage curve catches up through cost of living and market wage increases. Although establishing pay rates may seem like a time-consuming process, it's definitely a necessary one. Your pay plan must be designed to ensure external, internal, individual, and procedural equity. If that scale gets out of balance because of perceived pay inequity, turnover increases and productivity decreases. In other words, the human resource manager's worst nightmare. That's the end of this section.
Section 2, Practice Questions. Okay, now that we've reviewed the chapter, let's see how much you've retained. I'll give you a series of multiple choice, true, false, and essay questions to think about. After a few seconds for each, I'll give you the correct answer and an explanation. Let's start with multiple choice. Ready? Question 1. Exempt professionals include Employee Security Act. Question 3. Workers who are unemployed through no fault of their own may collect unemployment compensation for up to 26 weeks based on A, the Unemployment Compensation Act, or B, the Social Security Act. The answer is B. The Social Security Act of 1935 also provides for retirement benefits.